From the son of a millionaire skipping the family business to be a firefighter to a police officer joining the force after her brother died in the line of duty. These are the real life stories of America's first responders that Joey Jones is highlighting in his brand new book. It's called Behind the Badge, and it is out today. He joins us now. Congratulations.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having
me on.
This is, you know, sometimes you write a book and you're thinking, I had something to say. This time I'm writing a book and nine individuals who have served this country and their community. It's not so much they have something to say, it's that they've lived through something and I get to help share it.
You know, this is the other side of, we're talking every day this week and leading up to it about the conflict between Israel and Iran. And we've harkened back to people who have served, who have been at the behest of the funded terrorism that has existed through Iran. And at the really root of all of these stories are real people who have signed up, who have put themselves in danger to protect America, to defend what they believe in. They've taken oaths to protect Americans, whether it's on the homeland or overseas. And these stories are so important for us to know about and to hear. And fortunately for us, Joey Jones has written the book on it, Behind the Badge. And we have the author with us here today. Joey, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being with us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thanks for talking about this. I'm really excited about it.
You know, I'm not sure of your specific age. I'm 40. I graduated high school September 11th. My classmates watched the towers fall down and then they turned 18. And I had multiple who signed up to serve after that. And they've got all very, very different walks of life, very different stories after that moment. And I don't think that they're talked about enough. It's kind of a quiet group of veterans who have come back, who have served. Several of them have retired with their full amount of service. Talk to me about what it's like to be a voice for some of these people.
Yeah. So, you know, this book Behind the Badge is focused on first responders, and a lot of them are veterans. In the book, I've got nine first responders, and I think four of them are veterans. And one of them lived in down in Panama when things got hairy. So he knows a little bit about a little bit about combat even before he served as a sheriff. And I don't know that I'm a voice for veterans or a voice for these folks, but I certainly want to lend my platform so their voice is heard. And that's what's important to me.
I think it is important. We've seen, too, in the last 10, 15 years, law enforcement, the way that we have disrespected culturally law enforcement, who have had to step in some very hairy times here on the homeland, that bringing attention to the humanity that exists behind all of these people, that's incredibly important as well. Do you feel like in talking to these people whose story you're telling, do you feel like people are still very proud to serve behind the badge?
I think that's probably the one thread that sews them all together. I mean, you know, in the book, we start with two firemen. One's my brother-in-law. The other one's a guy I've known since I was 3 years old. They just happen to work together. And we start with their stories. And then there, Keith Dempsey, my brother-in-law, one of the first things he says is, you know, we don't get in on the fire service, we don't get the negative that the police officers get. And I don't know how they continue to do their job as police officers. And as I interviewed, I've got SWAT team and a state trooper and a police officer and a LAPD bomb squad member. And the consistent thing among all of them is that, yeah, the mental toll sucks. And it's not just the negative from people protesting, but from seeing us do terrible things to each other and seeing freak accidents hurt us so bad. And to be a part of that and to be a part of cleaning it up or hopefully, you know, making things right, that sucks. But the mission of doing it is more important than their own peace of mind. And so I think it extends beyond pride. I don't think they think of it in terms of I'm proud to be a police officer. It's I'm honored to be a police officer. I get to be a police officer. I get to be a fireman. I get to be the one that shows up when other people wouldn't, and the one that shows up when the rest of us just walk out our doors every day and say, you know, we don't say anything. We just jump in our car and take off, and we know that if something goes bad, somebody will be there.
Yeah, something that you've kind of highlighted here a little bit in our discussion, but I'm also reading it in the book description, is how much of a family affair this often is. You were talking about your own family members who are involved in serving behind the badge, but that people, there's a sense of duty that comes just out of honoring those members who are in their family who came before them to say, yeah, okay, it's my turn.
I think for some people, you don't, I think for a lot of folks in the book, especially, like Caitlin Kotfila, her story is just amazing. She was graduating in Connecticut. Her brother's a cop down in Tampa. He does something incredibly heroic, essentially sacrifices himself to interdict a car going the wrong way so it doesn't hit another car. And he dies in the line of duty. So she goes down to his funeral and decides, you know what, I'm going to come and take his place on the force. And to be inspired that way, she comes from a cop family. Her dad, uncles, everyone served in law enforcement in some capacity. And she talks about that. And she talks about, like, you know, she could never sneak out because her dad was a detective and could figure it out quick. But she talks about how, you know, she didn't think she was going to go be a police officer until that happened with her brother. And what blows my mind about that is, common sense would say that would be a great reason not to do that, you know, but that's not how it works for them. That their sense of duty is elevated beyond what most Americans understand.
It needs to be acknowledged. It really needs to be discussed. As you've been watching some of the behavior that has been displayed in Los Angeles during these protests / riots, depending on, you know, where we're talking about at any given time. We're here in St. Louis. Ferguson is, you know, spitting distance away from where we are right now. We've seen this really grow, this anti-police sentiment grow to the extent that it becomes marketable, really, which is to me the grossest part of the anti-law enforcement first responder sentiment, that something that isn't necessarily even true, like the hands up, don't shoot lie that came out of our area, then becomes a slogan and then people start fundraising off of it. Why do you think that people are so quick to jump on this anti-law enforcement sentiment, at least that they were? And it does feel like maybe we've moved away from that at this point.
I think it's different for each people. I mean, if you're talking about the rich white liberals that leave Columbia to go protest, it's because they've hadn't had anything difficult happen in their lives and they're looking for something to be passionate about and have a cause to fight for, and that's just what's put in front of them. I mean, that is a problem. I mean, I'm not saying everyone in this country is pampered. That's not what I mean at all. But compared to the rest of the world, pretty much we are. And so you have a class of people who haven't had their big struggle and they feel inadequate. So they go and jump on someone else's. If you're talking about communities of color that feel like they've been mistreated and arrested too much, it's a lot easier to blame somebody else than to be introspective. And so there are a lot of people that feel like, you know, you wouldn't have arrested somebody if they looked different and didn't use the same dialect I do. It's like, well, that may be true. And if it is true, root that cop out. But also, that doesn't change the fact that you did something wrong and you did something that people get arrested for. So maybe, you know, like my dad told me, hey, listen, son, if you don't give them any reason to, you got a lot better chance of not getting pulled over or going to jail. And that's from a kid that speeds too much, I'll tell you that now. But when I do get pulled over, I know in that moment the game is up, right? Like, I took a risk, I did something illegal, and now somebody's pulling me over. What do I do? I'm going to pull my truck over, I'm going to put my hands out the window with my ID in it, turn it off, and if I've got a firearm in there, let him know when he gets there. We as a society have to take accountability for ourselves. We asked for police officers. We asked for law and order. That's what creating a society is. If you're going to ask for it and you're going to exercise your rights, then you also have to exercise the ability to understand when you've done something wrong. And I think that's a problem we have in this country.
How do you feel about with the sentiment taking place right now currently in our country, specifically with ICE? Tom Homan at the head of that, man, he speaks, he cuts straight through it. He gets right to the point when he's talking about the things that he's seen in his leadership of ICE, that the horrors of what not policing this type of crime of coming across the border illegally, like what that can lead to when we kick the door wide open and just tell everybody to come in. I mean, he has true clarity in what he's trying to accomplish. And then the other political sentiment is just that they're trying to snatch people out of their beds at night who have never done anything wrong. Do you have any advice, having talked to real people who have served in law enforcement, do you have any advice for the American people who are consuming both sides of these stories to, like, take a deep breath and try to find the absolute truth in what is taking place and what these law enforcement individuals are trying to accomplish?
I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Like, you're not going to go looking for bad PR. You're not going to go doing things like, and almost all these have been debunked. They showed up at an elementary school. Actually, they didn't. I forgot what the latest one was this week, but it was something along
the
those
Dodgers?
Lines. Showed up at, the Dodgers game. That's what it was. Yeah. It's like, no, they're not going to go looking for negative PR. They're looking for individuals who have a rap sheet. But if they apprehend that individual and there are six other illegals with them, Well, Trump's told them, hey, we need to get the numbers up. We need to get these people out of here. Why would they just turn the blind eye to those people? There's a difference between going searching for people that don't have an extra criminal record, but also deporting those that got here illegally that get wrapped up because we're hanging out with those that do. And that's essentially what's happening. I really wish Kristi Noem and Tom Homan would kind of message that a little clearer for Americans. And I'm sure they have their hands full, and there's a lot of reasons why, you know, holding everyone's hand through the messaging isn't their priority. But that's a big part of it. I come from a town that's majorly Hispanic, most of them Mexican, Dalton, Georgia. Look it up. And in that town, we had a young lady who was driving a truck. One of the police officers, this happened just 2 weeks ago, one of the police officers got a call, a black truck had driven through an intersection or done something unsafe. He went towards the intersection. Her truck was the next one he saw. He didn't get a great description of the truck, so he pulls her over to see if she's the one. When he pulls her over, he finds out not only is she illegal, she qualified for DACA, but she didn't do any paperwork for it. Not only is she illegal, but she's driving and has been, you know, her whole adult life without ever even applying for a driver's license. So he takes her to jail. And that's exactly what I would expect to happen to me if I were just driving around without a driver's license, not even ever passing a test for one. That's what should happen. When she gets to jail, well, I mean, this Georgia, we cooperate with ICE. ICE finds her, they take her, and they detain her. Now, they end up letting her go because she qualifies for DACA, even though she hasn't done any of the paperwork to be protected by it. But the whole moral of the story is that the Democrats take this young lady to Capitol Hill and turn her into a martyr when she's done all of this to herself. I mean, her parents came here illegally. The Biden administration, through the courts, gave her a path to legal residency, and she couldn't be bothered to even do that. I have very little sympathy for her, and ICE isn't doing anything wrong by deporting people that are here illegally, regardless of whatever the criminal record is.
Yeah, they're just doing their jobs. I want to encourage people to check out Joey Jones's new book. It's called Behind the Badge. Before we let you go, Joey, if people, my understanding is these are smaller stories, so it's a very simple book to read through and take as you go, but you're telling individual stories. What do people walk away after they've read this book feeling and having learned?
Yeah, listen, your worst day in your life, and I talk about mine in there, my dad essentially dying in front of me, is another shift for them, for first responders. That's just another day on the job for them. But you have to understand, they do feel it. They feel it every single day. They care about the people that they work on. And when they can't save you or they can't save your home, that sticks with them forever. And the fact that there are people out there who can deal with that, who can soak that in and carry that weight and still do the job and still show up and be dad or mom or whomever, husband, wife, it's really remarkable. And I think you walk away from this realizing you don't have to be Chicago Fire or in New York on 9/11 to have these impactful, amazing stories. Because if you're a first responder in this country, no matter how big or small the town, you've seen it, you've felt it, you've responded to it, and you've probably saved somebody's life.
Amen to that. And you've told those stories here. The book is called Behind the Badge, and it's by Joey Jones. Thanks for being with us today, Joey. I hope you have great success with telling this story. It's a story that needs to be told, and I'm glad you did it. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Behind the Badge, Joey Jones, Fox News contributor. Of course, you know him. He lost his legs in combat, and telling us a brief version of the story about losing his father in front of him. It's just a very tragic event. But these stories that are included in Behind the Badge, encourage you to get that and check it out and support the effort that Joey Jones is trying to make here in getting these stories out. We love law enforcement here, specifically on the Annie Fry Show in 97.1. And are honored to be able to help Joey tell that story. On a quick break right now, Be or Not the Bee with Ryan Wiggins next. And we need to get you in on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi. Come subscribe if you haven't. Trying to grow the show on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. The YouTube live chat poll is President Trump humble? Yes or no? A reminder also, if you're looking to take 97 with you, 97.1 FM Talk with you anywhere you go, the Odyssey app, it works anywhere you have a phone connection. AUDACY. You can listen to all sorts of Odyssey radio stations there, but of course we prefer you listen to ours. Find 97.1 there, the Annie Fry Show there. You can see the podcast and everything. Quick break, Be or Not the Bee next. We can go wherever, so let's do it now.